Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us, and we are getting right down to the very end of Philippians, and we're going to pick up again with verse 18 in Philippians 4 tonight. The study is study 86 in what I have determined to be wisdom, along with the workman's interlinear. We started off with wisdom, but when we got into the last seven epistles, we've been dealing with Jack's workman's interlinear, and Melda, her work that she helped him do within that. And, I've been thinking about them some, and I often wonder about how God works with people and times and places, and why some of them seem to leave this earth a little earlier than others, and it seemed like some left with work undone, but some left with work finished. And so I believe when Jack did his book that we're dealing with, he and Melda, I think this was a finished product for Jack, and I think the Lord, after he got it finished and got it in the Library of Congress and all the things that he did to do, he was finished with the work that God had for him to do, I think.
Yeah, evidently.
And then, that wasn't the end of my thought. And then, you know, once they buried him in his, evidently in his home burying place, because it said it was in Eberly Cemetery in Pennsylvania. And, I thought, well, if he got it, if his family had a burying place there that was named after them, it's pretty profound. And so, you know, he had went to Bob Jones University and got his basic education, I think, from Bob Jones, but still with Melda. And they were getting ready to move out of the house because I think she didn't want to be there anymore without Jack. And she was going to move to Arizona.
Or did move there.
Did move to Arizona. And so we went up there and got a load of her books that she wanted to, for us to distribute for others and to put in the DFT. And she seemed to be fairly spry at that point in time. It wasn't long after she went to Arizona. She was only out there just a short while. And God was finished with her. Yep. And so, you know, I think that happens lots of times with people, because my school principal, his wife worked with him in the office of the school there for years and years and years. And she passed away. And, the local undertaker, they called him, and they went down and fixed her up, and they were going to have visitation. They got down there, and while they were having visitation that night, well, then he fell dead just a day and a half after she had died. And so I think the Lord was done with them, and one couldn't make it without the other that much. And I think that's kind of what happened to, if you think back a little bit, with Oscar and Mae Baker. When Mae Baker passed away, it wasn't long till Oscar went. The Lord was done with him. Regardless of the amount of ministry that he had, and the great work that he was doing in his lifetime, when hers was over, his was over. In Jack's case, when he was over, she was over. Yeah. And so I think the Lord does that sometimes. So if you're thinking about writing a book on scripture, you better be sure you're ready to go.
I thought about that.
That's, that's my little trivia bit to you this day and this night. But be that as it may, this is study number 86 on wisdom and workman's interlinear. And today's date for the tape is March the 31st, the last day of March, 2021. And so, hopefully we'll get through these four or five verses and we can start next time on Colossians if the Lord permits. We're going to go to 18. We're going to read it like we've been reading it. And then we're going to read my notes and then we're going to get in Jack part of it. It says, but I have all. And Paul here is writing back to the Philippians about, their ability to, give him the things that he couldn't get out and work for anymore. And if you think about it a little bit, Paul was always self-sufficient if he was able to be. And so he was thanking them for what they had done and, thanking them for the ability to do what he was doing and to stay in his own hired house for a while. I think this is truly where that came from. But I have all, he says, and abound. Full stop. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you. And so Paul had received from Epaphroditus sometime during this stay there. He had received word by Epaphroditus of how they were doing. And so he was going to mention this in this letter that was to go back to them. So he's doing the reciprocating here of giving them the understanding, well, Epaphroditus came and he told me about you guys and I'm going to say thank you one more time. And I think that's the way it worked out. The things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. And so here again, we see the odor of a sweet smell. It's usually used in a death procedure or a death time, but still, there are other things that causes the Lord to smell this beautiful odor that comes back because he is going to reap some greatness from that by it being used the way it's used in that sense. So think about that. And then we're going to read it out of my notes. It says, but I have all. And that word have is apatio, I think in the Greek. I'm doing the best I can. I have all and abound. That's the full stop. He says, I am full, or literally have been filled. Because when the Father laid this mystery truth on Paul, he certainly became filled with it. It was all that he considered. It was all that he thought of. It was all that he had because he didn't know how long he was going to be here on the earth. And he had to tell this story and he had to tell it to suffice for those like us that would come later on and tell others also. This is the way it was going to get out. So he says, I am full. Or have been filled, having received of or from Epaphroditus, my fellow worker, the things which were sent from you. And he doesn't say what the things were, but he makes the point that it was an odor, and that odor is, in the Greek, is ozomi, of a sweet smell, and that's yuda, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then we'll get in to Jack's work. Verse 18, he says, I have, and I guess this is a breather or something like it, but all things and abound. Again, the space, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things from you. Odor of a sweet smell and sacrifice. It doesn't say well pleasing to God. Yeah, it does. Sitting on the next page. Acceptable, well pleasing to God. I had not seen that. And then we get down to the more modern version of the English. But I have all things in abound, having received from Epaphroditus the things from you, and an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Jack says, what a beautiful verse of scripture. Paul abounded. They are many richer. They were many richer. They were many more highly regarded. He was not known as a comely person, much like his Savior. Yet he could exult and say he abounded. Woost believes Epaphroditus came to him weighed down with gifts from the Philippians. However that may be, Paul was joyous. The figure of the odor is used. The term sacrifice indicate the Philippians had given up some things of importance. Think about this. The Philippians had given up some things of importance to bring joy to Paul, and greater of all, to glorify the name of the Lord. Okay. Think about that. Now let's look at the scripture that goes with that. We're going to go back to Matthew 6:2, and it's on page 1319 if you have a companion Bible. And we'll get to Matthew 6:2. Let me go back one page. And we'll just do 6:1-2. He says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And then the verse that Jack wanted to see, therefore, or because of this, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Okay. Now that was the first one. We want to go to Luke 6. Let's go to Luke chapter 6 and look at 24. It says this, blessed are ye, let's go back to 22. When men shall hate you, and they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Verse 24, but woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. And woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Okay. That was Luke. Romans 12:1. We're going to go to Romans. And it is on page 1686 if you have a companion Bible. And it is the first verse of chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is Romans 12:1-2. Now, 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And it's not far from where we are. First Corinthians 2:16-99 is the page it's on. We're going to look at verses 14 through 16. Well, let's look at 13. 14, 15, 16. Which things also we speak not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, full stop. For they are foolish unto him, full stop. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, or they have been judged. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So Paul admits here in the notes that he has the mind of Christ. Okay, we're going to Ephesians 5. On page 1767. In Ephesians 5:2. Well, 5, let's just start with 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. So you see, Paul uses the same words that he uses in Philippians 4. Talking about the Philippians, because the offering was a sacrifice. Christ loved us and had given himself for this offering and for this sacrifice to God, and it was a sweet smelling savior. So, see, when we talk about this, and Paul is talking to them people, he said, well, just like Christ did on the cross for you, God accepted that, so God is accepting your offerings that you sent to me.
Amen.
It's the same situation. And okay, then we're going to go to Colossians 1:10. And if you're going back to Philippians, you don't have to turn the page. You can find this one. It's on the following page. Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. So that's what Jack had put in verse 18 for us to look at, to realize that he was associating the things that he got just like that he received, just like what we received from Christ when he gave his life for the sins that we had, and God accepted it as a sweet smelling odor to cover the things that this whole world had brought upon his son and it brought upon mankind. Verse 19. Let's go to 19. Back to the King James Version. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply, and that word there, you can't miss it. It's pleru. The supply is pleru. That means to fulfill or accomplish all your needs, he says. According. That word according there is horizontal motion. With action, purpose, and intent.
Alongside.
Go back to Appendix 104 and look at 10. I believe it's number 10 there. And you'll see that sometimes if you have a chance to do that. Now, according to his riches in glory. According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Okay. There's not much that needs to be added to that either. So, as Jack said about verse 18, 19 is pretty self-explanatory. He said, but I rejoice. No, I got on the wrong page. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. How? By his son, Jesus Christ. That's not the finished work of Christ. That's what he did on the cross. And we're looking toward the things that came afterwards also. Let's go back to Ephesians 1:18 for just a minute. Well, let's just go ahead and read while we're going back there. Let's read what Jack had to say about this. Okay, in 19, the but God. Now this is how the Koine Greek is. The but God, my, will fill up all needs of you according to the riches of him in glory in Christ Jesus. And down to the modern version, a little more modern version of the English. But my God will fill up all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Jack says the Philippians have been generous, even sacrificed. Their liberality had been appreciated. Paul is telling them nonetheless that their needs would always be filled through the inestimable riches of the glory of God. See Ephesians 1:18, and that's on page 1761. Then we're going to look at Colossians 1:27 and 2 Timothy. Okay. 1:18 says this in Ephesians, talking about opening the eyes of your mind and your heart, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of his calling, having now seen. Let's read that again. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, having now seen what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Colossians 1:27. Though we can turn the page there, I think you probably get this. Sure. We're talking now about even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then we're going to look at 2 Timothy 4:8. And that is on page 1814. Paul is here. He's getting his things in order. And he says in 6, where we'll start, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, full stop. What comes after the full stop? Henceforth.
Yep. That I remembered. From okay. This point forward.
There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, full stop. Think about that a minute. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Does that include you and I? Sure it does.
Amen.
Absolutely does. Okay. So that's verse 19. Okay, let's turn back to Philippians 4:20. It says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now unto God and our Father. And I put in my notes, as we are begotten sons by adoption unto the ages. We have been and still are, because we were chosen before he ever created anything. But you see, we're begotten sons by the adoption unto Christ for what he did for us. We couldn't do for ourselves. And so by doing that, he chose us as children of his association. Not Abraham, it's the blood of Christ that took care of that.
Amen.
Absolutely. So, it says, if we understand that we're sons by adoption unto the ages, it says, be glory forever and ever. Amen. So be it. That's the way it is. It's in the mind of God.
Are you good?
Hmm?
You good?
Are we out of time?
No, you good. You got 9:08.
Okay. So, there's, in 20, there's a few things here that Jack wants to say. And we go to the Koine group in 20. It says, in that short verse, in the but God and Father of us, the glory unto the ages of ages. Amen. Oh, that's beautiful. That's better than what the translator did. He says, but to God and our Father, glory unto the ages of ages. Amen. The praise, Jack says, is to God the Father. The glory shall be to the ages of ages. This should not be construed as eternity, as only God has the understanding of this. The ages of the ages is a combination of time periods. And these are definitely known by God. The true end of man is the glory of God. In fact, the true end of creation is the glory of God. The wishing for God's glory and the bringing of God's glory are two different things, yet the first will generally precede the second. Okay. So, let's go and see what Jack wanted to see. First off is Psalms 22:23. Psalms 22:23. Well, 22 is in the bold, so let's start there and we'll do that. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Full stop. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye, the seed of Israel. And so that is Psalms 22, verses 22 and 23. Okay, that was on page 741, I forgot. But let's look at Jeremiah 9. It's on 1031. Maybe I won't forget that. It's on 1031. And it's Jeremiah 9:24. Well, it says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness. I exercise judgment, and I exercise righteousness in the earth, full stop. I added that because they are three words, but he does it all. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And God gets pleasure from that. He can delight in those things that pleases him. Even us as fallen individuals and living in a place that's sinful, he can still get glory from
it. Amen.
Now, let's look at Matthew 5 again. Well, Matthew 5. I started to Matthew, let's see, 5:16. It's on page 18:17. 5:16. Well, we've looked at 14:15 before, but let's look at it again. We are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. 16, here's what he wanted to say for sure. Let your light shine, so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay. That is Matthew 5 and the wisdom that goes with that. Let's turn back to Luke. We're kind of in a rut here. Somewhat. But Luke 2. 14 is what was told to these people when they saw the star and the heavenly host in the heavens saying this to God's people on earth. This was the message. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. And this was the gospel, the announcement, the time, talking about a Savior and a Christ the Lord and the place. And it ended up with a sign. I read it just about every year at the Fireman's Supper. Have for a long time. This is his message. This was God's news to mankind. Yep, he's here now. And he can do for you what you can't do. That's not in there at this point, but it will be in there at some point. So that was Luke 2:4. Okay, let's go back to Colossians and look this time at Colossians 3:17. This is on page 1785. And it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Listen to this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Okay. Revelations 4:11. Boy, we just about went the whole book tonight. Revelations 4. I must not have that marked because it ain't.
Haven't looked it up.
It ain't coming up in the place where it was marked out. 4:11. Yeah, it just wasn't that big. And it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Full stop. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, he says that God got, he gave him great pleasure to do this for mankind. And then Revelation says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. We are here for the pleasure of the Lord. We're here by the pleasure of the Lord. What I said at the very beginning of our study tonight, for these people that seemingly, when they had done the work that God had set out for them to do, they were finished. They were asleep in Christ now. So, therefore, you know, you can't complain about that at all. Not at all. We don't have a right to do that. Okay. Let's go back to, let's go back and finish up the rest of the book. We're about done with Philippians for the minute. We're not ever done with it, but we're.
For the city.
Yeah. Okay. 21. It says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. So here is, he's talking to them. It says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. To welcome, to embrace, to greet. As pasmos. And that's in the Strong's at 783. As pasmos. To embrace, to welcome, and to greet. Every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me salute you. The brethren which are with me greet you or salute you. The same thing. Okay. There's one place where we see this or need to go back and look. as far as Jack says, but let's read it first. In the Koine Greek, it says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Salute you, the with me brother. As Paul accumulates his epistle, he is mindful of the receiving individuals. He may see their faces as he writes. Many would be smiling. He wished to give a greeting to each. Further, he would wish to convey the heartiest greetings from those that are with him. Doubtless, many are slaves of Caesar's household.
Quite likely.
Most likely.
The position where he's in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, if Caesar's the ruler of the world at this time, there would be no doubt be some Jews there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
How blessed is their fellowship, even by letter. And it says, see Acts 9:10. Okay, let's go back and look at Acts 9:10. That is on page 1598. See how easy it is when you just got one to turn to. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Oh, somebody that just happened to be there? I don't think so. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said the right thing. He said, behold, I am here, Lord.
Here I am, God.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't have to ask him, Ananias. No, Ananias said, behold, I'm right here, Lord. What do you want me to do? He said, arise and go into the straight, which is called straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He is praying. He is a blind man praying. Not much else he can do because his sight's been taken away from him. And Ananias just happened to be there for the Lord to use him to give Paul his sight back. No, he just didn't happen to be there. He was there for a purpose. God always has a purpose. And many times we don't see that purpose. But there it is. Behold, I'm here, Lord. He didn't say, well, what do you want me to do? And the Lord spoke to him what to do. Okay. Verse 22 says, and all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. See, here's where Jack got this.
A little hint as to who he's around.
A hint of who was around with Paul. So Paul wasn't alone. You know, even though he was with the chain, he still had people that believed like he did. So let's look at 22 right quick. Salute you all saints. It says, especially those of Caesar's household. And all the saints salute you, especially those out of Caesar's house or household. C.H. Wells believed that these Caesar's household are predominantly slaves, servants of Christ, with the calling into the upon heavenly, Jack says. They are not Caesar's in this realm, just the Creator's. And he says there's two places here we need to look at. Hebrews 13:24. So let's go back to Hebrews. think I passed it. Hebrews 13, I said. 24, 1847. Yep. Hebrews, and this is Paul speaking to the Hebrews, and he says, here, salute all them that have the rule over you, and to all the saints. They of Italy salute you. And then there's one more in 23 there, and it is in 22, Ephesians 1:5. Ephesians 1:5. There's lots of times we go back to these things that we've read already, but it becomes important to look at them again. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So that was, those of Caesar's household, the good pleasure of his will. And then we're going to look at Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Talking about Christ, he says, he put all things under his feet and gave to him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And then we go to the last verse of Philippians. Verse 23. Let me get back to Philippians. Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Or to be with your spirit. The grace. Free, undeserved favor. Three words that are very important to our lives. The grace of God is undeserved favor. God favors us with stuff that we don't, that we didn't earn. This favor can't be earned. It is a gift. The grace of our Lord. And the grace of God is something, it's a prevailing word in the message of this mystery. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, or your spirit. Amen. And there's three places here and we'll be done. Galatians 6:18. I went way too far. Did I ever go too far? 6:18. And this is the last verse in Galatians. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. It's a kind of a closing. It is a kind of closing of an epistle. That Paul used frequently.
Yeah, haven't done.
And
I never noticed it until we're almost to
that. So we got that. Okay, let's go to Colossians 3:14. No, Colossians 3:4.
Yeah.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So, if you ever wonder about your hope,
there it are.
That tells you right there about your hope. And let's go to Titus for just a minute. Titus. Let's see if I can find Titus. It's on 1818. I'll get it in a minute. Where we're going to is 1818 if you have a companion Bible. And we're going to look at verses 12 and 13 of Titus 2. Let's go back to 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Now we can say amen. We've made it through Philippians. Okay.
We got yeah, I'm with Tony. Amen and amen and amen. That's a good one.
We got any time left?
It's 9:33.
Okay, that's good enough. We'll pick up with Colossians next time. We'll get a brand new start with it. Go from there. Thank you very much for being with us in these studies. So far it's been a glorious account. It's gonna get better. I don't know how much better it can get, but at least now we've got the bedrock laid of the thing, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of it as we get going again. And boy, these pages in Jack's books are... There we go. Getting going out there. Chapter 1 of Colossians. Okay, I got that marked out and ready to go. So thank you all for your love and understanding. And thank you that we're looking at God's grace, and that we see that He has given us this grace because it pleases Him. Not because of what we do, but because it pleases Him. That we believe, and that He in turn shows His favor in that. Because if you don't believe in Him, if you don't believe in the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you have lost more than you can ever hope to gain. This is what the important things are in this book. Christ, when He died on the cross, that started His finished work. But when we read where He is going to appear, and we're going to appear with Him, That is the combination of that work being completed on the earth for us. That's our hope, being established and given. And then what is it we have? We have whatever Christ wishes. That is our final, that is not a finality, but it's the next step in where we're going, because whatever it is that Christ desires, whatever the head desires, the body is going to do. That's the only way you can say it. You know, it's like you dreaming up an idea. And my boys is in the business of dreaming up new ideas. Well, if you come up with something that needs to be done, if God the Father asks the Son to move as He's done before, then believe you me, if you're part of the body, you're going to go with the head, and the head's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And He might use you and I to do it. So guess what? This is the test we're in. This is where we are on the earth. We're here in a test. It started with Eve in the garden. And the test still goes on. And if He spreads His love and His will to us, and we see it and believe it and understand it and act upon it, then I think that's the test we're in. Then we will be given that hope that has been put forth, that we will have as being part of the body of Christ, as being part of Him. What greater thing than you could think it, you could ever get or ever have, is to be part of the Godhead? Wow. Maybe we ought to say it a little louder. Part of the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, folks.